Comfort, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Good morning. As you explore the biblical text, which I'm certain all of you are doing, right, after our series that we just did, where I encouraged all of us to spend more time in Scripture, one of the things that you might notice in the midst of the stories in the Bible, like the one Nicole just read for us today, is really cool and almost unexplicable things happen up on mountaintops. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land, and the person that organized the trip, he goes to the Holy Land about every 4 years. So he's seen all of it in multiple different ways. But he kind of gave a theme for our trip, and he called it the high places. And so part of what we did in our time in Israel was to go visit all of the high places. And by high places, literally meaning high altitude. Now, I'm here to tell you, there are a number of them in the Holy Land. There are various mountainous regions, large hills, and even fortresses that were established on these high places. Also, just a side note, it does snow year-round in Israel on top of one mountain that you can go and see. I was not prepared weather-wise to go on that trip. I'm just going to let you know. Did not bring my snow gear. But this particular story that we're going to read here in just a minute also happens on top of a mountain. And it's this impressive experience where the disciples have a new insight, a new understanding of who God is, that they're able to just rest in God's awesome presence. Now, just a quick reminder, does anyone remember what season, liturgical season, we're still in? Anybody? Nobody's talking. You could just say it. We're still in Epiphany, right? So if you remember, this season started way back at the beginning of January, on January 6th, to be precise, with Epiphany, which is that day in which the wise men come and visit baby Jesus, right? That feels like a long time ago that we celebrated Christmas, unless you live in my house where the Christmas lights are still up. Cough, cough, Aaron. He's just shaking his head. But Christmas feels like a long time ago, right? Like a lot has happened since then. But that's the season that began, and an Epiphany is this season about light, about illumination, about revelation. And the very next week after Epiphany, we have a special Sunday called Baptism of Our Lord. And on that particular Sunday, it's the Sunday where Jesus is baptized, and we read from the beginning of Matthew chapter 3, and it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven," we're assuming God, right? "A voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.'" we begin with this booming voice of God coming out from the clouds, exclaiming, "This is my son whom I loved, with whom I am well pleased." On this Sunday, on Transfiguration Sunday, we're going to hear those same words from God being spoken about Jesus. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's one of those high holy days in the life of the church, like the Feast of the Epiphany that we began with back in January. There's others like Easter, right? That might be an important one that many of us know. Or Ascension Sunday. We'll experience Ascension Sunday here in about 6 + 7 = 13. So 13 or 14 weeks, something like that. And the season of Lent, the season of Advent, these are all kind of special markings on our church calendar, or what we call the liturgical calendar. And the Feast of the Transfiguration is this commemoration of the time of which Jesus took three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. It seems to always be Peter, James, and John. Not that John. Different John, where he takes them up on this mountaintop, and suddenly it says Moses and Elijah are standing with them, and Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. And so, and this traditionally takes place on a very specific mountain in Israel called Mount Tabor. Now, there's nothing in the text that explicitly says that, but that's traditionally where we place that event happening. So let's read the story of the Transfiguration according to the Gospel of Matthew. Just a reminder, if you leave today, well, I hope you leave today eventually, right? I guess we could stay like Asbury. Have you seen what's happening in Asbury? We could just stay for 10 days and just keep worshiping. How fabulous would that be? But whenever you leave, I would invite you to read this story in the other synoptic gospels, in Luke and also in Mark. The gospel writer Matthew says this in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwelling places here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said this, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground, and they were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Not only is this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, a bookend to the season of Epiphany, it's also a Sunday of transition that moves us into the season that is to come. This is the Sunday prior to the start of Lent, right? On Wednesday, we'll have our Ash Wednesday services. And it's this march into the city of Jerusalem where Jesus has his final week, right? Before he is crucified. And it's this moment where he kind of finishes up his ministry in Galilee, and moves toward Jerusalem, knowing that the cross lies ahead. But before he takes this journey, before he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he has this special moment on top of the mountain with his disciples. It says, his face started to show or shine, right? It says he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Now, it's important to remember the context of what's happening in the time where Matthew is writing this. Matthew probably wrote this gospel about 80 years after Jesus' birth, so probably about 50 or so years after Jesus' death. And there was a lot of conflict happening in the life of the church that Matthew was a part of. There was conflict beyond the congregation with other churches. Many scholars believe that Matthew's church was in conflict with other churches who did not share the same belief. Does that sound familiar? We have no conflict with any other churches saying that we don't believe the same things, right? His church believed that Jesus was bringing about transition from the broken present age into the realm of God. And so they were anticipating the coming of the realm of God soon and very soon. Now, there was also conflict happening in the synagogue, the church itself. Members of the community were having disagreements about what the church should do with the Gentile converts who were coming in to the church. How many Jewish practices should they adopt, right? Paul talks about that, right, in his letters to some of the early churches. And so Matthew's church was having the same sort of conflict. We don't know what it's like to have conflict within a church either, do we? Maybe not our own church, but definitely from a denomination standpoint, right? What's the best practice here? What do we believe about? And then we like to fight over it and, you know, leave if we don't like the answer. Or so it seems. But there was also tension with how they were supposed to relate to the Roman Empire. So there's a lot of conflict within and conflict outside. And so Matthew is writing this gospel in part because some of the people in his very own community are starting to have doubts about the realm of God and it coming to them in the near future. They're starting to doubt this message that Jesus had brought on the cross. And so they needed this reminder about what happened on Mount Tabor. They needed this reminder to show them that Jesus stood next to Elijah and Moses. That this frame of the gospel isn't just something new, but it's something that also connects with the old and it connects with tradition. I don't know about you, but I need moments like this too. I need moments that take me out of the difficulty of what I'm experiencing and the difficulty of what I know lies ahead to just have a moment to be in God's presence. Anyone else? I think that's part of the reason we come to church every week, right? It's a moment for us to just kind of cast out what's happened in our week, to maybe not worry about what's coming in the week ahead, and just sit and sing songs that we love, to be with people that we love, and hopefully to experience God's presence. Now, if you remember in the biblical text, that this time wasn't easy for the disciples either, right? They weren't just going around like watching Jesus feed 5,000 people. They weren't just watching Jesus walk on water and hearing these great sermons come out of Jesus' mouth. There was difficulty happening around them too. Just a few chapters before in Matthew's gospel, John the Baptist is beheaded, right? At the hands of King Herod, well, sort of, at the hands of Herodias' daughter. And his head is literally served up on a silver platter. This is not an easy time for the disciples. What's about to happen isn't easy either. We're about to head into this season of Lent. We're about to head toward the cross, which is one of the most difficult times that the disciples will ever experience. And in that moment, they have an opportunity to see Jesus change, to see him transfigured before them. And I love what Peter says. It's always Peter, right? He's the guy in the classroom that always raises his hand. and speaks up. For you teachers, you had students like that, right? I was that student. I was Peter, even if I got the answer wrong. But Peter says, he says, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. And if you wish, I'm just going to make three dwellings here. Or another way to translate that is to pitch tents. I want to pitch three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter just wants to stay. Peter does not want to leave that mountaintop moment. It's like for many of us who grew up going to church camp as kids, on that final Friday night or whatever night it was, you were like, oh, do I really have to go home tomorrow? And when our parents arrived on Saturday morning, we like didn't want to get in the car and we just sobbed our eyes out. Like, why do we have to leave? Because we'd experienced something that we'd never experienced before. And so Peter has the same sort of reaction. I just don't want to leave. I want to stay here. And it's in that moment that the clouds open, just like they opened at Jesus' baptism, and says, look, this is my son whom I loved, with whom I am well pleased. But here, Matthew adds three more words. He says, listen to him. You need to be reminded of what Jesus has told you and what Jesus is going to continue to tell you. You need to pay attention because life is about to get really hard. But keep your eyes open for what Jesus has to offer. And I think this is true for us too. When we leave here, it is really, really easy for us to be blinded and overwhelmed by everything that's happening in the world. Anyone else like have news notifications on their phone? It's like, there's another shooting today and another one today, right? And over again, we're bombarded with all of the hard. Maybe it's not just stuff going on externally. Maybe it's the balance in your bank account that pops up on your banking app that says, hey, you've gone under $0. Or maybe for you, it's you get a call from your doctor that's unexpected, and they tell you something you were not wanting to hear. Or maybe you've lost someone or something, and you just don't know where to turn next. And you're overwhelmed in the midst of grief and uncertainty, and it's in that moment that God says, pay attention. Pay attention to what God is doing and what God continues to do. Friends, moments of transfiguration are hard. I was reminded this week, I went to the annual preaching academy, which I did not learn how to be a better preacher. I was very, very upset about that. But it was a time of renewal for me, to be with my colleagues, to listen and grow, and to just be in connection with each other. And someone said, you know, on Transfiguration Sunday, they always post pictures of butterflies and how beautiful change really is. And yet nobody thinks about the process of metamorphosis from going to a caterpillar to a butterfly. Not only do caterpillars have to cocoon themselves, right, and struggle to get out of that cocoon to turn into a butterfly, they also have to, like, eat their own feces in the midst of emerging. Change work is not easy work. Transformation can sometimes be hard and disgusting and awful. It requires a lot of growing pains. But that's what moments like this teach us, that even when we want to stay in them, hard work is still to come, that we have to go down the mountain, that we have to be back in the valley, that true transformation comes from changed hearts. And friends, that's not just a moment of ecstasy. That's a lifelong commitment to doing the work of God. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for this morning, for this time to come together and worship and to remember to listen to you, to pay attention to what God is doing around us and in and through us. God, as we stand in this moment, this Transfiguration Sunday, where we experience you changing in our midst, God, let us be reminded that you will be with us when we go back down the mountain, that you are with us in times of difficulty and uncertainty. We pray all of this in the name of your Son. Amen.